About a month ago, Troy City Council appointed 8 members to the newly reactivated Environmental Conservation Commission. We're joined now by co-chair of the ECC, Mark Russo.
Hello.
Hello, typo. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Could you start off maybe with telling us what the function of the Environmental Conservation Commission is all about?
Yeah, the Environmental Conservation Commission is actually from an older part of the charter, I think from the early 80s. And we're tasked mainly with dealing with environmental things. So that has to do, we deal with open spaces, things, public access for green spaces, things like this, litter, general quality of life, things like that, as well as protecting and identifying particular habitats that are important for maintaining for wildlife and things like that in Troy.
Now, this commission was just recently reappointed, correct?
That is correct.
And who is on this commission, and what are their qualifications?
So there are 8 of us, myself and Elizabeth Moran, co-chair. Elizabeth is an environmental activist. She works for an organization that does things to do with chemicals in the environment. I don't know a lot of the specifics.
Right?
Yeah.
New York Public Interest Research Group.
Right. And we've only met one time, so we're really, things are, and this commission has obviously been inactive for a long time, so things are a little bit rusty getting going. We have Elizabeth Brichter, who is a local farmer person and also works as an organic certifier. For an organic certification company for farms. Emily Lenny recently graduated from SUNY Albany with a master's in environmental law. And Hannah Landy is also a local farmer. James Hebert and Charles Menzie are not 2 folks that I know personally. One of them works for a group that does things regarding chemicals in the environment. They're sort of a chemical industry group, as far as I know. And Caleb Winters is a land surveyor and is involved with a number of sort of green projects in the area.
Now, the City Council has given the ECC a list of priorities, including the Mount Ida Dam project. Removal of the dam is already underway. Can you give us an update on the dam and Mount Ida Lake?
Yeah, so I actually live just around the corner from there, so it's something I keep an eye on. They have started removing, like as you said, they've removed a portion of the dam. The last update I got was the dam has been down about 18 inches. It may be lower now because they were working today. And as such, the Ida Lake has, for the most part, dried up. The city had a call for volunteers on Friday where they got some nets and some DEC folks came in and they rounded up the fish, dug some channels to help get the water and the fish out and return those all the aquatic critters they could find into the post and kill. And they are going, they're going to lower the water level until they can start to remove the sediment, because this dam has been, it washed out in the late 90s, but it's been there for a long, long time, and there's a lot of sediment coming down. So there's, before they can actually do their original plan, they have to use heavy equipment to come in and remove a lot of the dirt that's built up there. If you go, it's wild. You don't actually see the dam. It's just like soil for quite a long ways along either side of the channel.
And what are some other priorities currently for the ECC?
Yeah, so one of the things we talked about at our last meeting was trying to try and keep plastics out of the waterways specifically and trash out of the waterways. So we're looking into some of those things, be it trying to add receptacles or things like that to improve the use and sort of improve people's sense of ownership and care for our natural spaces that we share. Or also potentially, hopefully not, looking into changing the fine structure for littering in the city and updating that. We also are going to be reviewing at our upcoming meeting, there's on that same note, the Plastic Free Hudson Act, which is out of committee now in the city council, which would ban styrofoam, put a fee on plastic bags, and make single-use straws available only by request in local restaurants, which I personally am big in favor of. The less single-use plastics we can be producing, getting out in the environment, the better. And I think the city council did a good job of rolling it out in a way that's going to be amenable for businesses and also easy for people to kind of get used to. And then we're also going to be doing a couple other things for this upcoming meeting. We're going to try to identify the critical environmental areas. You know, any area that's particularly important for wildlife or and or recreation that we really want to make sure we maintain and focus resources on. So we're going to start looking into those things. And then we're also going to help the city review some of the foreclosure sales and see if there are any areas on that list that have particular environmental significance.
What is a climate smart community?
So climate smart communities is a list of regulations or suggestions that the New York State has put out for local communities where they can get support doing some of these things. And it's sort of a checklist to make municipalities, localities more environmentally friendly and also more sustainable going into the future. So there's there's at least 10 points to it. Has to do with things like emissions, keeping an inventory of trees, living plants, revising the building code to include green building practices, trying to reduce the number of impermeable surfaces in the community, so roads, sidewalks, things like that, that water can't infiltrate. It's a big problem because water runs off, it causes flooding, any like junk or oil that's come out of cars that's on streets then washes into waterways. So, example, the city of Buffalo just approved a green parking lot that's actually mowable, and so cars can park there, but you have living things, so it's photosynthesizing, cooling things down, and also water can infiltrate, so it's actually getting into the ground rather than running over the surface. Things like making things more efficient in terms of the things that city uses, so lighting, other equipment, and other things to try and encourage more investment in the green economy. So facilitating businesses that use green business practices, supporting more green building, things like that.
And green building technology is the plan to employ that in terms of rehabbing a lot of the older buildings in Troy at this point, or is it just for new stuff?
That's an excellent question, and I don't have an honest answer for you right now. We're looking into it. I think we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping to start with some low-hanging fruit, things like encouraging building owners to repaint their roofs from so they're no longer black, so they're white, to reduce the heat island effect. Things like this that we as a smaller group have more, it's sort of easier to roll into before we start moving into big code changes and things dealing with either renovation or new construction.
Mm-hmm. Are there any restrictions on that in terms of your example of the black roof surface versus white? I'd heard some, and it could be an urban myth about federal aviation guidelines and reflectivity of light and things like that.
You would be a useful person to have on this committee.
Okay, I think it's probably garbage, but okay. How can Troy residents participate in environmental conservation at this point?
Well, we have a meeting once a month. I believe they're going to be typically on Wednesdays, but this upcoming meeting is going to be Thursday, August 29th at 6 p.m. It's going to be at City Hall in one of the conference rooms. So there are the eight of us who serve on the committee, but there were a few guests at the last meeting. People are welcome to come share their concerns. We also have an email address. I think it's troyncon@gmail.com. And so they can contact us there. And if there's any, specific, I would say outdoor or green spaces that people are interested in, they can reach out to me or to that email address. I think it's been out in a press release. Let me double check what it is so that I make sure that I'm putting the right thing out there. It's troyncon@gmail.com, which you can reach out to us with any concerns or contact me or one of the other members if you know any of us.
Okay. I have one more issue that I wanted to bring up. That I think would be a concern of a lot of property owners and also just environmentally conscious people, and that's single stream recycling. whether that actually works, whether that's what the city plans to continue to do, and whether there's going to be any effort to try and deal with compost as well.
This is an excellent question. This is one of my main interests is dealing with our waste stream, so-called, but a lot of it doesn't actually have to be wasted. It can be reused. Our single stream recycling goes to a large plant that County Waste operates in Albany. We are going to be organizing a tour of that facility to take a look at that. As far as recycling goes, it's not in a great state right now. I think and things are interesting in the city of Troy right now because we have the Environmental Conservation Commission. We also have the Troy Sustainability Task Force, and there's a solid waste committee as well. And it seems like at everybody's meeting, everybody is interested in talking about trash or garbage and organics recovery and things like this. So it's clearly a point of interest. I think it's up to the city in a large part to see how they organize and take these various different responses and different perspectives. I personally would love to see a more organized organic deferral program so that organic waste isn't getting landfilled.
Municipal composting?
It could be composting. Right now what the city is looking at is a number of smaller sites, gardens, that can take compost and compost it on site. Which I think is a great idea, but I don't actually think in the long term is going to meet the need at a municipal level. Mm-hmm. So either by larger scale municipal composting or some innovative ideas that have come up in other cities like in Austin, Texas, where they divert organic waste and actually use it to generate feed for animals on farms. So in my opinion, composting is good, but there are other ways we can keep that food energy higher up in the food shed. And I would love to see those kinds of things happen, but there's a lot of things to see. Our appointment is 2 years long. The commission is going to sit for 2 years before there's reappointment, so it's going to take, I think, a few months to get things going and really figure out who's in what roles and what priorities line up with what the city is looking to do to make things happen.
Okay, I actually have one more issue that I just became aware of actually the other day. So Valenti Gravel. Do you know anything about them?
I'm familiar with their trucks.
Okay, so I think they're planning an expansion in South Troy. So if you're not aware of this project, it might be something that you want to look into because there's a whole environmental impact statement process that they apparently have to go through. There's going to be a meeting in South Troy on Tuesday, August 13th at 392 2nd Street. So if you're interested in that, you might want to go.
That's interesting. I did see that Carmela, our city council president, has posted about that, including specifically like the truck routes and how they'd go through mm-hmm. downtown. But I'm very curious to see what their impact they think would be and what they plan to use that prime waterfront space for.
Great. Well, I think that's about all the time that we have. So thank you very much, Mark Russo, co-chair of Troy's Environmental Conservation Commission, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks.